So let's go ahead and over to prayer, and we'll jump right into our study this evening and take advantage of the time that we have. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Father God, for bringing us back to another SCS. It is still Sabbath hours, and we thank you for the rest that your Sabbath day does bring us. And Father in heaven, I pray that you will please help us to appreciate and take advantage of the time that we have right now freely to come and study and come and worship. We know that in many places, Father God, there's millions that don't have these freedoms. And if we don't take advantage of the time that we have now, we will look back when our freedom is gone and be so regretful and mournful as to all the time that was wasted. So, Father, please, may we redeem the time because the days are evil. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, Father God. Be with me now as we open your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like for us to begin by going to the book of James. James chapter 1. And as we go there, we're looking at the, mention my prayer, the freedom that we have. And we do know that it is going to be in this country where the major end time events are going to begin. And then the world's going to follow the example of America. But there are other countries right now that things are taking place there that are an indicator of things to come. Have many family members in Australia, and I confirmed this with them just this morning, that in parts of Australia and soon the entire nation of Australia, for example, it is now illegal. It is illegal for even a pastor or for anyone to pray for someone, even if that person comes to them. But it is illegal for someone to pray for that someone to gain victory over homosexuality. So if I, as a pastor in Australia, am approached by a church member or a non-church member, and he or she tells me that they're struggling with same-sex attraction, if I pray for them to get the victory over that, I could be reported and be in trouble with the law. That's Australia. Today, coming to a country near you. So things are happening very quickly. And we know that there's two things that we still have that the Lord gave us in Eden. And what are they? Marriage and the Sabbath, the two institutions. And Satan is just about done destroying marriage. And once that one is taken out, guess which one is next? So we're living in very, very solemn times, and this message this afternoon, this study, I believe, is quite relevant in light of what is taking place in today's world. So let us go to the book of James, James chapter 1, and let's go to verse 5. A very familiar passage. We're going to read a little bit more after this verse. So James chapter 1, verse 5, and we're there, please say amen. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. So if we lack wisdom, we ask God. But now look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in how many ways? Verse 8 again. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the person that wavers, has a divided mind. In other words, he can't make up his mind. He's straddling the fence, if you will. And it's been well said, you know, if you're straddling the fence, one foot in the church, one foot in the world, you're straddling the fence, it's been well said, the devil owns the fence. His heart, his mind is divided between the pleasures of the world and the call to a complete surrender to God. And because he cannot make up his mind, God cannot trust that individual. And he will not receive anything from the Lord. And if we think about it, no one likes to be around individuals that can't make up their minds. Flip-flops. They're flakes. They say one thing and they do another. They think one thing, then they talk to this person, they're convinced. They talk to that person, then they're convinced. They're dull-minded. They cannot make up their mind about anything. But when it comes to spiritual realities, the double-minded man, in reality, is trying to serve two masters. And we all know that you cannot serve two masters at the same time. Impossible. Why is that? Matthew 6:24, you will either love the one and what? Hate the other. And so we find that this double-minded individual is basically in the same position of Israel as old. Let's go to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and let's go to verse 21, the story of Elijah after 3.5 years of being in hiding. He tells Obadiah, hey, go tell Ahab, I'm here. Obadiah says, what, are you crazy? Fine, that's okay. And so Elijah finally shows himself to Ahab. Ahab says, are you the one that troubles Israel? Elijah says, not me, but you have and your fathers for the sins and your rebellion against God. But now at Mount Carmel, when all are gathered together at the showdown to see who the real God is, notice Israel's problem. Verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between how many opinions? Two opinions. In other words, you're double-minded. You can't make up your mind. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people did what? They answered him, not a word. Not a word. So Elijah was basically saying, how long will you have a double mind? How long before you make up your mind? And notice how bad it got. Notice how bad it got in Israel. Go with me to Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23, and let's go to verse 36. Notice the double-mindedness of Israel. Ezekiel 23, and let's go to verse 36. If you're there, please say amen. Notice what the Bible says. The Lord said moreover unto me, son of man, will you not judge Ahola and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations. Now look at this, verse 37. Declare to them their abominations that they have committed adultery and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and they have also caused their sons
whom they bear unto me to pass for them through the fire to devour them. So what was, I mean, this is not Babylon, this is Israel. What were they doing? They were literally offering their sons as living sacrifices to be burnt in the fire. Keep reading. 38. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus they have done in the midst of mine house. You catch that? So in the morning, they're worshiping idols and Baal and literally offering their children as burnt sacrifices to the false gods. And the same day, they come to the sanctuary to worship God. Mercy. Double-mindedness. And today, the Lord is saying the same thing to us in the light of where we are in Bible prophecy. How long, church? How long will you have a double mind? How long will your heart be divided? How long will it be before you make up your mind to trust me and follow me? Why are you trying to serve two masters? There's no peace in that. God says, you can't serve me. You can't serve me and follow the world at the same time. Because that way you don't enjoy either one. And so God says, make up your mind. You're double-minded. If God is God, follow him. You see, the double-minded man halts between belief and unbelief. And because he does this, he is unstable, he rocks back and forth, and will soon fall and be shaken out. And but the person with the singleness of heart, a single mind, does not hesitate one moment in obeying the call of God. As you heard this morning, he doesn't reason with himself. You see, one of the tests of true discipleship is instant obedience. God commands, you don't question, you do it. Let's go to a story where we find a beautiful example of a double-minded person. Matthew 19, and let's go to verse 16. Matthew 19:16. Perfect example of a double-minded individual. Are we there, Matthew 19:16? Amen? The Bible says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18. He said unto him, which one? Jesus said, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I done from my youth. What do I lack? Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful,
For he had what? Great possessions. We know the story. We know the story very well. This person, what kind of person is he? He's a double-minded man. To the first part of Jesus' statement, he said, "Amen, Lord, I'm with you, I'm willing." But when Jesus touched his personal riches, his comforts, his wealth, his pride, there was the line. Lord, I will follow you up to a certain point. But once you require more, that's where I stop. I didn't sign up for this. Lord, I'll follow you up to here. But once you cross that line, I don't know about that, Lord. Let me think about this. Let me pray about this. Let me counsel about this. Let me talk to mom and dad about this. Double-minded. Halting between two opinions. Wanting to serve God and self at the same time. Wanting to serve God and enjoy the carnal pleasures of this world at the same time. Wanting to serve God and still enjoy your sinful movies. Wanting to serve God and still enjoy that sinful music. Wanting to serve God and still be in control of our own life. Double-minded. In other words, we want heaven, but not the cross. We want the blessings, but not the sacrifice. We want the justification, but not the sanctification. Double-minded. And this man was so double-minded that notice what Jesus said about him. Verse 23. Watch this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Y'all know, y'all became rich. Some of you here will never go to church again. No, don't misunderstand God. God is not against riches. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. Okay, you had rich men and women of God in the Bible. God is not against riches, but God knows that if I win the lottery, have mercy, I'm going to forget about him. So God may say, "Gomez, I'd rather have you making that lowly salary of yours." Amen, thank you. Because believe me, it's a very lowly salary. Amen. I'd rather have you make that lowly salary of yours, but make sure you're in that mansion I got for you in heaven. Because if you get that mansion here on earth, that mansion is going to be empty in heaven. Y'all hear me this afternoon? But keep reading. Verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, what's possible? All things are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that which you have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Double-minded. That's why, I mean, I've said all the time, you know, the Lord separates. But he separates us from things because he has something so much better to give us. But until we believe that, we're holding on to breadcrumbs. But notice here, double-minded. I read from Testimonies, Volume 1, page 187. Volume 1, page 187. This beautiful double-minded illustration here. God leads his people on, step by step. He brings them up to different points, calculated to manifest what is in the heart. Some endure at one point, but fall off at the next. So the Lord tests us step by step. At every advanced point, the heart is tested and tried a little closer. If the professed people of God find their hearts opposed to this straight work, it should convince them that they have a work to do to overcome if they would not be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord. So in other words, if we find that God is testing us closer and closer to home, just like this young man, hey, keep the commandments, honor father and mother, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't kill. I've done that. Okay, fine, go sell what you have. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute now, Lord. What are you talking about here? And if we find the Lord doing that with us and we say, wait a minute, Lord, that should tell us a whole lot about our spiritual condition before God. Keep reading. Said the angel, God will bring his work closer and closer to test and prove every one of his people. Some are willing to receive one point. But when God brings them to another testing point, they shrink from it and stand back because they find that it strikes directly at some cherished idol. Double-minded. Lord, I'll serve you up to one point, up to a certain point, but once that point is crossed, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. Here, they have opportunity to see what is in their hearts that shuts out Jesus. They prize something higher than the truth, and their hearts are not prepared to receive Jesus. Individuals are tested and proved a length of time to see if they will sacrifice their idols and heed the counsel of the true witness. God tests us. Length of time. If any will not be purified through obeying the truth and overcome their selfishness, their pride, and evil passions, the angels of God have the charge. They are joined to their idols. Leave them alone. Now look at this. Those who come up to every point. How many points? Those who come up to every point and stand every test and overcome, be the price what it may, have heeded the counsel of the true witness, and they will receive the latter rain and thus be fitted for translation. You see how serious this thing is? A double-minded individual will never receive the latter rain and be fitted for translation. So again, how long will we remain double-minded? How long will we try to serve two masters? I mean, what needs to happen for us, to us, to get us to make up our minds? But there's another problem with a double-minded individual. Another problem. You see, not only do they waver, not only will they not receive anything from the Lord, not only are they trying to serve two masters, but notice James 4, verse 8. Go back to James now. James 4, verse 8. James 4, verse 8, the Bible says, James 4, verse 8, are we there, amen? Amen. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Watch this. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? So what are the double-minded commanded to do? To do what? Purify what? Their hearts. So the command is to purify your hearts. That means that their hearts are what? Not pure. Are you following me? It's not rocket science. It is impossible to have pure hearts while we are double-minded, while we try to serve two masters. Now, why is that important? Let's connect this now. The double-minded don't have pure hearts. And the Lord says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Why is it so important? Go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and let's go to verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8. The Bible says, Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the what? Pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. So if you want to see God, then your hearts must be what? Pure. You want to see God, you must make up your mind you want to see God. Don't be double-minded. Don't waver back and forth. You want to see God? Make up your mind. That's the problem. We have yet to make up our minds. So many are double-minded. Notice Psalms 24. And let's take this just a little bit deeper before we have to begin to wrap this up. Psalms 24. Psalms 24, and let's go to verse 3. Psalms 24, verse 3, and look at the question we find in verse 3. Psalms 24, verse 3. Psalms 24, verse 3. Are we there, amen? The Bible says, Psalms 24, 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Keep reading. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seeks him, that seeks your face, O Jacob. Now follow me. Who shall stand in his holy place? Those that have clean hands and what? Pure heart. Now, question. Who was the book of James written for? Who was the book of James written for? And who are the 12 tribes? You go to Revelation 7, you find the 12 tribes, the 144,000. And when you take a careful look at the book of James, it describes the characteristics of the 144,000. Powerful. This small little five-chapter book of James, powerful. And who are the only ones that shall, well, getting ahead of myself. Let's go to Psalms 15. Get in. Slow down. Go to Psalms 15, verse 1. Psalms 15, verse 1. The Bible says, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth where? In his heart. The 144,000 are the ones who shall abide in the tabernacle of the Lord, or in other words, in the temple of the Lord. Don't have with me, but early writings, page 18, Ellen White's first vision, she's in heaven, and they're about to enter the temple, and then Jesus says, only the 144,000 enter into this place. So, those who will be a part of this number, of this elite group, they will have what? Pure hearts. They're not blown away by the wind. They don't waver. They don't waver back and forth because they are not double-minded. They have pure hearts. They stand upon the word of God and they will not be shaken. These are the ones that shall receive the blessings of the Lord. These are the ones who will be sealed with the seal of the living God. This is the generation that seeks the Lord. The Lord in these last days, my friends, is looking for that generation, that final generation, that is going to seek him with all their hearts, who will not be double-minded, who will not be unstable, who will not be wavering, who will stand upon the firm rock of the word of God and will not be shaken out. So, question. Are you double-minded? Am I double-minded? Do we have divided loyalties? Or as Jesus put it, where's your treasure? Now, the question. Go back to James 4. I can't resist. I'm going to do a drive-by, but study on your own. 144,000. James 4, verse 8. Once again. James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, have your hands clean. In the last days, what goes on your hand? Keep your hands clean. Seal of God goes where? In your forehead. But leaving that aside, here's a question. How do we purify our hearts? How do we become pure? How? Yes, the blood of Christ, praise God. But is there more? Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. How do we purify our hearts? Psalms 119, and let's go to verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. We there, amen? The Bible says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your what? Word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. How do we cleanse ourselves? By taking heed according to your word. The word of God. Now notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I praise God for this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But I praise God for verse 11. And such were some of you. You catch that? Is that past tense or present tense or what? Such were some of you. Some of you were idolaters. You were fornicators. You were adulterers. You were homosexuals. You were drunkards. You were all these things. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, can the double-minded man become a single-minded man for the glory of God? But we must be washed, cleansed. Notice with me what the double-minded man must do as we begin to bring this to a close. Let's go back to James 4. James 4, and look at verse 8. James 4, verse 8. The Bible says, James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You see, the double-minded man thinks he's okay. But the Lord says, your self-confidence, your self-sufficiency, your pride, that's got to go. And humility must take place. Again, my friends, the Lord is looking for those who will seek after him with all their hearts. Those who are going to be frontline soldiers in these last days, which has to be all of us, my friends. we're going to fight the Lord's battle. The Lord has no use for those who are wishy-washy, back and forth, wavering, double-minded, undecided, uncommitted. God has no use for you. He can't use you. The time to decide is now, to make up your minds, purify your hearts, obey the truth which we know. Now, it's not that the Lord wants us to be sad and gloomy. Okay, because Christians, we shout, what does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is what? Is our strength. But as sinners, we should see our wretchedness. We should see our true condition. And we should always be asking the Lord to reveal to us our true condition, that we may be drawn closer to Him. So our constant prayer should be, Lord, examine my heart. Examine my heart. Reveal to me, is there any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way everlasting? That should be our constant prayer. And the fact that we today are living in the anti-typical Day of Atonement, as the judgment is nearing its completion, just as Israel of old afflicted their souls on that day, we too should be afflicting our souls, making our calling and election sure, searching our hearts, making sure every sin is put away. The double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. So again, the question is, how long halt you between two opinions? How long halt you between two opinions? We're closing. 1 Chronicles 12. 1 Chronicles 12. And let's go to verse 33. 1 Chronicles 12. The Bible says, of Zebulun, such went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war. Not following me. Here we find this tribe of Israel. They were experts in what? In war. And with all instruments of war. Now today, we don't fight physical battles. But we fight what? Spiritual battles. And spiritual battles are much more difficult than physical battles. At the end of his life, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's about to be executed. And what does Paul say? I have what? Fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. Now, I'm not going to get off here and change subjects, but Zebulun were experts in war in all instruments of war. What are the instruments of war that we have? We have an entire armor of God. We've got the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the sword. This is not to fight physical battles, to fight spiritual battles. And every day, was put on that helmet of salvation, that we not be double-minded. Because a double-minded man does not know how to fight. A double-minded man will always choose the easy side. A double-minded man will always listen to the flesh, the carnal flesh, and take the easy, pleasurable way out. A double-minded man will never crucify the flesh and its affections and passions. A double-minded man will never please God. You know, not about you, my friends, but that song that was sung this morning, it's one of my favorite songs. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. And every time I give a sermon on this subject, I really can't help but cry. Because, now I know some of you have been doing this a lot longer than I have. I mean, next month I turn 49. For some of you, I'm still a baby. But I'm no longer a young buck like I used to be. Up here, my mind says I'm 20 years old. My body laughs at me. Now, why to bring this up? At the age of 14, I felt the Lord's calling to be a pastor. I have 7 pastors in my family. The last thing I wanted to do was be a pastor. I had 0 intention of being a pastor. And I remember like it was yesterday. It was a Thursday evening, summer vacation of my junior year in high school. I was in my room, sitting down there doing some reading, and the Lord literally told me, Gomez, you're going to serve me as a pastor. I said no. And the Lord and I literally wrestled for about 3 hours that night. It was an intense wrestling match. Guess who won? I literally said, all right, God, I'll do it. Leave me alone. Literally, I said that. I was 16. I've never looked back. Now, why do I say that? Like I said, I know some have been doing that a lot longer than I have. But I've been fighting from 16 years old till the day. And I'm tired. I don't know about you all, but I'm tired. And as the Bible says, I cannot wait until I study war no more. But until that day comes, fight we must. Amen. Fight we must. But I praise God, because just like in sports, those that play sports, you may have an intense schedule. But when you win, yeah, you're tired, but you're not as tired. It's when you lose, like, oh man, we gotta play again. Oh, we gotta play them. But when you win, yeah, you're tired. Yeah, you got sore muscles, but you wake up, all right, we got this. I'm tired. I know you're all tired. I cannot wait until I lay this armor down and study war no more. But to obtain that victory, we cannot be double-minded. One mind, one goal, and victory is assured. Amen? Let's finish this, my friends. Let's finish this. And let's go home. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for this afternoon's presentation. Nothing too deep. But Father in heaven, Lord, all of us are guilty of double-mindedness. Lord, we have divided hearts. And you cannot use a divided heart. Father, please take our hearts. We give it to you. We give it to you to do that which you must do in order to make sure we are in your kingdom. Father, please, if there's anything in us that is double-minded, Father God, please reveal that to us, that we can surrender that to you, that we can truly, Father God, have Jesus in us. It's too late in the game, Father God. Prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes, and probation is closing. Things are taking place. Soon we will not have this freedom. And I pray, Father God, that when that happens, just like many are in other parts of the world, taking a bold stand for you no matter what the consequences are, Father in heaven, when that day comes, may we be willing to do and to dare for your cause, for your glory, no matter what the consequences are. So please, Father God, give us your spirit. We give you our hearts. We give you our mind. Blessed this then, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.